reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by SeatGeek. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. We got ourselves a mailbag pod coming off of the Giants-Commanders tie. I'm back home in Florida. Justin's back home in New Jersey. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby Skinner. Coming off a tie. Still don't know how to feel about it. Feels worse that we got the Eagles this weekend. But, you know, happy that we're still in the playoffs, and let's have a mailbag.
That has made it, and again, every game in the NFL is winnable. And I might just, you know, end up predicting a 77-0 win for the Giants.
You might.
But all week, it's like, it's like bounce back. It's like, oh, we got the Eagles this week.
Yeah, and they kicked the snot out of it. If the Titans actually did what they were supposed to do and play the Eagles well or even win that game, then I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we got a shot. But, I mean, they beat the Titans pretty
bad.
Their
O-line is so good. Their receivers are so good. Jalen Hurts is playing. Like, and then on defense, like, they just have, you know, they got awesome. Anyways, they're a good team.
Not going to think about it until our preview pod.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to get a question on the mailbag pod, do not ask about the next opponent. We never put next opponent questions on the on the mailbag pod.
Well, the preview pod's for.
First, this episode is brought to you by some special people. Anthony Carvaelli. He's carving up defenses like not the Giants right now. Nick Jalen C. Hurts. And the C stands for champion. Angelo Trento. Angelo. MGT. What does MGT stand for?
Management.
I was thinking of like an acronym.
Nope.
Like Mike. It's
the first thing that came to my head.
Mike Grill Tahoe. Tyler S. What's with those just one word, one letter last names? Duncan, like Tim Duncan, Jelly Bloom, and Alex Archer. Archer's a show a lot of people like that I've never seen. Justin, who are these people?
Julian, say something.
They're from Patreon.
I have to say, you got a haircut like last week, right?
Yep.
The way that the hair is growing in, and your face just looks fantastic. Just your facial structure. I mean, I'm jealous of it. I got my neck beard going. I'm getting, it's end of the year. I'm gaining a little weight back. Julian looks fantastic. Bobby, you look all right. Patreon.com/TalkGiants. If you want to see Julian,
I got the afro
face,
going.
Got the afro going. You're probably still got the spiked hair. From wearing a hat, you know, wearing a hat, the electricity, that's how that works, right? From, you know, wearing the winter hat all day on Sunday. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. If you want to see Julian's beautiful face, you can subscribe there and you can watch us while we record the shows live, plus some other benefits, plus some other tiers. You know the drill. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Thanks for our patrons.
It is funny that our last podcast in Jersey, I am wearing three layers, a winter hat, and still a little cold, and you're like in a t-shirt and just fine. And it's like, that's...
Well, do you ever have the... I always have this, and it's a very comforting feeling. Whenever I go to Giants games, and you're cold, it's the fourth quarter, whatever. You walk back to your car, you start to warm up. That's when you regain the feeling in your feet. And then
the best
you sit,
feeling in the world.
You sit in the car, and then
actually, the van heater sucks, so it was not as good as usual. But my rental car had heated seats. That was nice.
So you turn the heat all the way up. Like in the car ride, you're sitting in traffic, so you really heat up and you really warm up, and then you're feeling really toasty. I think the best feeling in the world is taking off all those clothes. And I brought a change of clothes with us. I brought long pants, and then I just stripped down to my t-shirt that I just, all the t-shirt underneath all the layers. And then that's what I was wearing at the warehouse. And you did not do any of that. You just kept all your layers on.
I keep it on until it's like, all right, I am going to sleep now. Like I was in the hotel room and three layers until it's like, all right, time to go to sleep.
No, but all that warmth that I built up because I had all those layers on in the heat. And then I was still warm while we were recording. But it was a very funny New Jersey versus Florida man moment in the month of December. You know, me just being in short sleeves and then you being still in three layers with the hat on too. You didn't even take the hat off with the headset mics. No,
I
was
like
funny.
Feeling kind of chilly. Anyways, take it away, Steve, you bald ass.
Mail time.
Mail time. The mail's here. Come on. Bye, guys.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Thanks, Steve from Blue's Clues. Justin, let's get into the mail.
I feel like you're about to say a word there that's not appropriate. Jake Barrow at Do a Barrel Roll. With a lot of season left, it feels like the book is out on our offense and defenses are adjusting. Obviously, they can't completely change offensive identity. So what kind of realistic adjustments slash wrinkles do you think they can slash should make to avoid defenses keying in like Washington did? Bobby, I have something to say just before you go, because you're going to talk about schematically they could do this and you could do that. And,
it's actually, you know, my comments are going to be less schematic based, but go ahead.
You know, they're playing single high. This is what you could do there. You can run mesh. You can run flood. Blah, blah, blah. Like, all right. I'm exhausted. I am exhausted talking about this. We talk about this every week. And this isn't even just a this year issue. This has been every single week for the last 3 fucking years that we've basically have had this show. Every week we talk about how can the offense, how can they adjust? How can they create more explosive plays? I'm exhausted. That's it.
So I'm actually not going to talk about a lot of scheme, because I think one of the good things they do is schematically is they add nuances to what they like to do every single week. You know, they're not just running the same play over and over again. Like they run the same concepts, but they add different stuff to it. So that's the thing that I like about this. And like Jake said, they're not going to just totally flip with their offensive identity. They're not going to come out just running and gunning. We are bombs away, and they shouldn't, honestly. You know, they're not Buffalo and Kansas City. They don't have the personnel to be that. But I think it's a few really simple things, because I know a lot of people, like the last few weeks, Mike Kafka, really there's things you could pick from, but this past game was like the first, like, to me, just bad Mike Kafka game. Not the you want some things back, but just bad Mike Kafka game. And here's the ways I think they can get better. More drop back passing on first down. Because people think, like, when you say drop back passing, it means like just throwing bombs 50 yards downfield.
No, and even
I don't know
these,
why that goes hand in hand with some people.
Well, I mean, Giants fans are just so, and I don't blame Giants fans, and the offensive line is still bad, but Giants fans are just have had it beat into their heads for basically since we won our last Super Bowl. Even that offensive line wasn't good in 2011. They weren't good. So we've had it beat in our heads for over 10 years now that the offensive line isn't good enough. The offensive line isn't good enough. The offensive line isn't good enough. So you associate throwing the ball down the field that you need 5-6 seconds for plays to develop. No. I mean, we've seen plenty of times, and I've done videos where Daniel Jones, 20-plus air yard passing attempts, and the ball is out in like less than 3 seconds. There have been plenty of those attempts. So
yeah, and so again, we're asking for more throws down the field, but we're not asking for them to, like, we're gonna be throwing the ball at 20
no,
plus yards
balance.
8 times a game.
Balance.
But here's why I say specifically on first down, because guess what, you can hit your second, third, fourth progression on first down and it's still a win, because you can't throw really a check down on third and five or third and six.
Third and seven, yeah.
And
what good does a check down do?
You throw a check down on second and 10 or second and 11 or second and nine. Say if it gets like 4 or 5 yards.
Cuts it in half.
You're still putting in like a third four. Like, it's still not the greatest situation. Should have more drop back passing on first down. We've seen consistently that when given that, Daniel Jones has played well. Like, he's played well when he has the options. Like, hey, I can check out of this. I can do this. And sometimes you can check into a run if you start doing that, you know. And then this pass game more so than other. Stop play actioning out of spots that aren't rundowns. Like, it was second and 13 and they were play actioning out of it. So come on. Like, and they were all over on the boot on, you know, some of the bootleg stuff. Like, and if there's one thing they could kind of get away from and that defenses have the playbook on, is the bootleg stuff. Like, the bootleg stuff is kind of, it's been figured out a bit. Even though they had some successful, like, 7, 8 yard, 10 yard throw. So don't throw it away, but I wouldn't be so, you're not going to do what you did versus the Bears anymore. It's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to get these chunk plays out of it. Just stop play actioning out of plays that aren't rundowns, because Because teams aren't falling for it. Yeah, and guess what? And a lot of the sacks are coming out of those spots, out of the play action spots.
Yeah, who are you fooling? Right? Fooling nobody. Yeah.
And then my last thing on this is don't be a pussy at the end of the half. Like, they ran four draws, a design swing pass to Saquon, and then that read option. That read option on third and one with 19 seconds left with no timeouts, was so weak. You're 11 yards out from the end zone. Run a conversion route. And honestly, it was like a no-win situation because, like, people are like, well, Evan Neal didn't get to the guy he's blocking. Evan Neal was blocking as if the ball was handed off. So he's just trying to seal the linebacker off. And guess what? And then still Daniel Jones would have had beat someone. So it wasn't even like a there's plays that look like read option that are designed quarterback runs where you're like, you know, you crack the wide receiver down and you bring the tight end from the backside across and you're not just blocking straight up. That's what that was. It was just a regular read option. And it was like, that's not going to go 11 yards in the end zone when you have all like an a determined unblocked guy. So those would be my main things.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the end of the half point. I mean, that's something that all year they have not. There hasn't been one end of the first half opportunity, 2-minute drill, where the Giants offense has shown, like, what's the word that I'm looking for? Like tempo, you know, that they've shown the ability that they want
urgency.
Urgency. Thank you. That's the word that I'm looking for. You know, they haven't shown any urgency all year. It's just exhausting, man. You know, I do trust. It's not a Dable Kafka thing. I do think they just don't trust these players. They don't trust the offensive line. I think they're afraid of taking sacks. I think they're afraid of turning over the ball. I think they're afraid of wide receivers making mistakes. But we had an entire summer where, and again, this could just be talking points, but we did have an entire summer of Brian Daboll talking about being open to making mistakes in the name of being aggressive. And that's what I thought this year was going to be about. And it's literally the exact opposite. So kind of a little frustrated about that.
And I'm not asking for the most aggressive, just more aggressive
again,
than what
balance,
we're seeing.
Balance.
Yeah.
And it's not just black or white.
And it's not balanced for the sake of just, this, you know, balance sake, where people are like, you got to be balanced. Well, so I saw, I think it was it Carl that said it like, you know, I don't believe probably in balance because it's like, you know, not every player on your team is balanced skill level. So you play to your, but it's like, all right, but like playing to Saquon and the play action is not working right now.
Yeah, right now the Giants' strengths are Daniel Jones throwing the football because it's not Saquon Barkley right now.
I have a question.
Sure.
Take away Andrew Thomas. Who do you think has been the second best player on the offense this year?
Second best player on the offense? I mean, you know, you can say Daniel Jones.
I kind of am. I'm going to say Saquon for now. But if you go off the last five games, it's Daniel Jones, and these have been Daniel Jones' not best last five games.
Yeah, which it
speaks more to the talent of the offense as a whole than it necessarily does DJ.
Right,
but it's like DJ's been a solid quarterback this year. The issue is that like solid quarterback is not what you're shooting for the quarterback position.
Right. He's also hasn't been given the full opportunity to show like who he is, what he can be, and what he's about. And that's the frustrating thing about this year. You know, this is a little bit of a Daniel Jones contract extension talk. I can't believe we're ending another year saying, still not really sure if Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback. And he hasn't, if we were going to end the year, well, no, if he did miss games due to injury, then that would be further proof that Daniel Jones is not a franchise quarterback. Further proof that Daniel Jones isn't the guy, right? That quote. But we're ending another year saying, not really sure because coaches didn't really let him rock and roll like we thought that they were going to this summer. I thought we were going to find it out this year, either because he was going to miss games or because this coaching staff was going to allow him to make mistakes. And then if he makes mistakes, then that helps you answer the question of whether he's a franchise quarterback. Or if he flourishes, then that helps you 100% helps you answer whether he's a franchise quarterback or not. But we're going to probably end another year saying, yeah, you know, Daniel Jones had a good year, but still not really sold if he can be a good quarterback in the a really good quarterback in the NFL.
Well, since we're in this conversation right now, let's just talk about Daniel Jones. I mean, we're you know 12 games into the season. You know, this is you know Daniel Jones was hurt at this point last year.
Can I give you a crazy stat?
I think Daniel Jones is in the Kirk Cousins tier, and some people will say that's too high. I think that's where he is, and I think that's kind of where he will be for his career.
Yeah, I don't.
And the question is, what do you do with him then? Because there's one side where people like I don't think those type of quarterbacks should just be thrown away in the name of like, you want Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen? Because like, okay, well, yeah, I agree. We all want those guys, but it's not
realistic.
Yeah, that
was going to be my rebuttal to you, because if you put him in that Kirk Cousins tier, you've been very much on this train of, okay, well, there's only three Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen's, and, you know, name me another, Joe Burrow's in the world, right? You know, there's only a few of those guys in the entire world that exist. So having a Kirk Cousins on your team, are you like okay with that?
I think I'm okay with it if they're like, hey, we will address QB when there's a QB that we want and is realistic to get.
Correct.
I'm not okay.
I haven't thrown this
okay
out there.
I'm not okay if they're like, here, if they give him a Kirk Cousins contract. How about that?
Correct. I haven't thrown this out there, but here's like my official prediction that is coming on December 6th at 7:57 p.m. My official prediction for Daniel Jones. A 3-year deal with an out after year two.
See, even that, that's a long contract.
I think that makes sense for him, and I think that makes sense for the Giants.
I don't know if it makes sense for the Giants. I don't think this GM, I don't think this front office really wants him that much.
But you don't think, like, an out after year two, like, they would be okay with it? Like, and you wouldn't be okay with that.
But they'd be locking themselves... I guess maybe because you could always do what Kansas City did, where
exactly
next year DJ's the quarterback, Taylor's the backup, and then so it would have to be like a very clear out after year three.
Yes, though, I agree with that. Yeah,
so
I
could see myself signing up for that, but then I don't know. I'm not going to give my official, but
yeah, that's where I am. I kind of have reached that point with Daniel Jones, saying I'm okay with a 3-year deal with an out after year two. I'm very okay with that.
See, but here's my thing, is I'd rather just tag him. And I know the tag is
a ton
of money. You
think he deserves
money.
that big tag?
No, but I think that a tag is less commitment than that 3-year deal is.
Yeah, you may be right. But then we're in this whole limbo again of another contract year, and are we going to extend him? Are we not? We're in this whole limbo again.
Yeah, it's such a... I guess this is like the spot. This is a weird spot.
It's a weird spot.
Like he's not a bad quarterback. He's not a great quarterback right now, but you're also been like, he's playing fairly well with dog shit players around him and good scheme. You know, so we just spent 20. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that question to go that way, but yeah.
All right. But let's maybe dive a little further into that. We initially had this question a little further in the show, but I was really looking forward to talking about this. Chris Mickle, who has been the more consistent player in their career, Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, and does that matter when talking about an extension? I'm not talking about who's the best player. I'm talking about who has been the more consistent player in their careers so far.
I mean, it's definitely been DJ. I mean, Saquon's career has been a freaking roller coaster, and I think 100% it matters. I mean, now, is Daniel Jones going to get the best quarterback money? But Saquon wants best running back money, or at least, you know, in that range. And, like, giving Saquon a Barkley a contract scares the crap out of me. Because, one, yep, the injury history. And, two, right now, I think the offensive line is more to blame for some of Saquon's, like, most of Saquon's production issues the last 5 weeks.
But that's the problem. That's also the problem with running backs, too.
Yes, and that is the problem, is that he plays a position that is reliant. It's the position that's most reliant on other players around them in the NFL, and that's running back. So, and that's like, I think you had a really good line on the Monday pod, because instead of getting into the semantics of like, oh, is it the O-line? Is it Saquon? Get him behind this. Da, da, da. It's just like, he's not a difference maker right now. Which is a fact.
Yeah. Not an advantage. It's not an advantage.
Yeah, an advantage. That's
not an advantage to have Saquon Barkley on the field right now, outside of, I guess, oh, the threat of Saquon Barkley. But I'm sorry, a person being a threat and maybe loading the box a little bit more on some plays is not going to be the reason why I give a former first-round pick, a top-five pick, a contract extension for a lot of years and a lot of money. That will not be the sole reason why I give that contract extension. I
mean, he's averaging 4.4 yards per carry, which is like significantly less than his first 2 years.
Yeah. And also, I mean, PFF put out a tweet about yards after contact. I talked about that on Sunday show, how it's really bad for Saquon Barkley right now. Saquon Barkley is in like the bottom five out of all running backs in the NFL that qualify for that metric. Bottom five of all running backs in like yards after contact per attempt. That's not good. That's not good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not good. All right.
Let's read an ad.
Yeah. I'll read an ad. And I'll tell you guys about my friends at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is my go-to when betting on the NFL this season. So I was in Jersey, so I was able to use DraftKings this past weekend. And I left. I was like, oh, I'm down $5. You know, maybe I'm I have a problem. I'm down $5. No, because I forgot I put money on the Saints +4. So once again, I leave New Jersey up. I am taking DraftKings all of their freaking money. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's a lot. And if you're as good as gambling as me, sheesh. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, point totals, and more. The more legs you add, the bigger the boost. The bigger your shot to win big. Again, and by the way, I've used other sites. DraftKings is by far the easiest. Am I right? Am I right? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code JohnBoy. Place a $5 bet on any NFL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code John Boy. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Next question.
Next question is coming from, this is going to be a tough last name. Going to butcher this. Josh Lupasakis. There you go. Josh asks, with Kafka's play calling becoming more questionable the past couple of weeks, do you think Dable should take the reins and call the plays for the offense? I'm adding a secondary question to this, and I'm asking, why did Jason Garrett literally get an entire year plus an offseason of excuses, and Brian Dable has basically, what are we in, week 13? Brian Dable has had week 13 weeks, and he should be fired now. Why is that a thing?
Well, they're saying Kafka.
I'm sorry, Mike. Why are people calling for Mike Kafka's head when Jason Garrett got an entire year plus a whole offseason worth of excuses?
That would be unbelievably weak to me. If Brian Dable fired or demoted, like took over play calling, that would be so weak to me. I'm a panic guy. Like I worry about outside perception. One, those guys are very involved. Brian Dable is extremely involved in the game planning and what they're doing. You know, like, let's not pretend. You know, the offensive line coach is a Buffalo guy. The QB coach is a Buffalo guy. And guess what? When Mike Kafka came to the Giants, he didn't just come like, here's my playbook. No. They kind of put the playbook together, and it's like, you have to learn our verbiage. They didn't learn Mike, he's the rare play call, offensive coordinator who is learning. He learned the system, not the other way around.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bobby, but, we're talking about how the Giants are a little bit too much run dependent, heavy on first down, and they should be throwing more on early downs and maybe too many play action bootlegs. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think every week in a game plan, there's X amount of plays for first and 10 situations. There's X amount of plays for second and short, second and medium, second and long. I mean, so those things are decided during the week and during the game plan and during the install moments, and then Mike Kafka is simply just choosing and selecting which play should be called within those situations. Am I right in assuming that? And 100%. Dable's part of that.
Yes. That would be, I mean, I think you'd be better off just firing him. Like, if you felt the need to do that, then you just should fire Mike Kafka. Yeah. I would be pissed if they did that. I still think Mike Kafka's I think he had one really bad gameplay calling. Yeah, could you say the 2 weeks before there's some things they should want back? Absolutely. But just, I, I, like, I think Mike Kafka is a good play caller. I think he's a good offensive coordinator. I think he's going to get better at that position too.
I agree.
You know, so yeah, to me that would be extremely weak if they did that.
Yeah, I just can't believe that. Again, Jason Garrett got, like, we were criticized in 2020 for saying that Jason Garrett's bad. People are like, well, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that. An entire offseason of optimism heading into 2021 about Jason Garrett. Oh, he's got Kenny Golladay now. Mike Kafka was part of this 7-2 start, and we were praising him. We were praising him through the first 9 weeks of the season. So I don't get how we've had such a quick turnaround. So
yeah, it's just offensive coordinator is one of those jobs where it's like people turn on you quick.
Yeah. Well, they didn't really with Garrett, at least not some people. All right, next question is coming from BuffoonJ60 at BuffoonJ60. If there was one offseason move you can have back, what could it be? What would it be?
You go first.
I'm going to cheat here. I'm just saying multiple. I would have
let's say your first one at least.
Well, I would have cut Martinez and Sterling Shepard. And then keep James Bradbury.
That wouldn't have been enough to keep James Bradbury.
Well, then I would have found a way to keep James Bradbury, but also cut those two dudes.
Okay.
Just flat out.
Yeah. Cutting Shep would have actually gave them a little less money. Cutting Blake would have saved them money. Probably would have been a wash. But yeah, if they wanted to restructure a deal to keep Bradbury, I don't think anyone would have been too mad at that. Like, I think it just, when Joe Shane said in his opening press conference, we got to get to this amount of cap space, you know, without restructuring, it kind of told the story. But yeah, James Bradbury would be, I don't get, like, oh, he's not great in man coverage, blah, blah. No, he would be really good right now for this defense.
Yeah, Fabian Moreau is doing all right for this defense. Just imagine how good James Bradbury would be.
Mine may not be the most popular, but I'm thinking long-term in this. So it's like what happens with the Giants long-term. So I'm not going to say, you know, signing Mark Gawinski, because honestly, Mark Gawinski's contract is not that bad, even though he sucked. I wouldn't have drafted Wando Robinson over guys like Alec Pierce, George Pickens, Alante. Remember people thought I was crazy for liking Alante Taylor a lot, the cornerback out of Tennessee? He's balling right now for the Saints.
I was open to like drafting Tyreek Woolen in the second round. Now he was drafted in, like, the fifth round.
Wrong about that. You were right about that.
Yeah, second round maybe would have been a reach, but I mean he's balling out in Seattle right now. So
one, it's just I don't think Wandale is going to be this amazing player, and it's just he's a 5'8" slot only wide receiver who's not the greatest route runner in the world either. Like don't get me wrong, I think he's a weapon. He's a useful NFL player. But I think at that high of a second round pick, I just think you almost got to swing a little more as higher, you know, like take an ex wide receiver. Like I think Alec Pierce would be like huge for this Giants team right now. Like he's putting up decent stats with, you know, a noodle arm quarterback, and he's a deep threat.
Was Christian Watson available before we traded back?
No, he went at 34 to the Packers.
He went 34. Okay. But yeah, I get your point. What's the ceiling of Wandale Robinson?
Cole Beasley, which is a good player, and the offense can run through the slot wide receiver, but I do truly think like I don't think he's that's a good player. Like so here's the thing: if you get Cole Beasley in that pick, that's a good pick. But it's like do we, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Mike Petro at MJP2275. What do you guys think about trying to get Saquon and Breida on the field together more often? It would definitely give us more speed and possibly more chances to create misdirection.
Yeah, misdirection is what this running game needs. I mean, the touchdown that Saquon Barkley had was misdirection. I don't want to go super in depth, but misdirection is what this team needs. Like, make linebackers think a ton. Make them think a ton. Because, you know, we don't have the greatest guys up front, but they can do a decent enough job run blocking wise. Just teams are going to stack the blocks. They're going to run blitz, get guys out of place And we're not just going to line up and run block better and run better than defenses at this point. So you gotta throw a bunch of misdirection at them. But I also think passing would help more too.
I think passing the ball with both of those guys on the field at the same time is not a bad idea either. I would certainly rather have the ball in Saquon Barkley's hands or Matt Breida's hands where, you know, maybe we're putting them in motion pre-snap. I understand that Saquon Barkley has been somewhat of an advantage. He has been an advantage in pass blocking situations this year, and the offensive line does need help and does need Saquon Barkley to be an anchor in pass blocking. But if you have Matt Breida on the field, I don't think you're putting a cornerback on him. I think you're going to maybe have a safety or a linebacker that's on him. I would take Matt Breida going in motion at the snap versus a linebacker every day of the week and then twice on Sundays, especially twice on Sunday because we play on Sunday. So when you're questioning your wide receiver talent, when you're questioning your skill position player talent, getting the ball in a guy like Matt Breida's hands, you know, Saquon Barkley in the receiving game, that stuff seems like it should be easy, but they just kind of haven't been doing it, and that's why I'm sitting here and they're sitting in East Rutherford. So
Matt Breida's having the worst year of his career.
Another year where he's going to end the year where you have a fan base saying maybe he should have got the ball a little bit more. I feel like every year of his career, maybe besides 2019, each year I think a fan base has said Matt Breida should have gotten the ball more. It's tough.
Next question.
Tough. Jack Salazzone at Jack Salazzone. The Giants pass rush looked good, really good, with our top four guys healthy. Do you think we see Wink Martindale dial it back on the blitzes with our front four getting as many pressures as they got this past week?
So versus better quarterbacks, absolutely. And you've actually seen Wink Martindale do that. Like, so one of the games I watched when Wink Martindale was signed as a defensive coordinator was the Buffalo playoff game where it was low scoring. And he really didn't blitz at all in that game.
There's certain quarterbacks that are on a do not blitz list, and like Josh Allen is on one. Jalen Hurts may be on that. We'll kind of watch it and we'll let you know. But yeah,
I actually looked at Jalen Hurts's he's a good bit worse versus the blitz and way worse under pressure, which every QB is. But I didn't like it. His under pressure numbers weren't great. But no, I don't think it does. I honestly think it almost encourages him to blitz more because guess what? It's one thing to have to prepare for the blitz. It's another thing to have to prepare for the blitz. And it's like all four of these cats can just get home on their own.
Yeah.
And what does blitzing do? It creates one-on-ones for those guys. So the more one-on-ones for those guys and they're consistently winning, the better chance you have.
Oh, shit. I said something. Bobby Sneeze. Oh, he's really going crazy. Oh, man. He's really going at it. It's a shame I said something. Yeah, my main thing from this game, Bobby, I clipped 13 significant pass rush plays where certain plays that the pass rush had an impact on a play. And I was surprised to see how many untouched pressures the Giants defense had this past week. And that's because of Wink Martindale creating certain matchup situations, creating these blitz packages that get these free rushers. In 2019 and 2020, Wink Martindale's Baltimore Ravens led the league both years in untouched pressures. So I clipped up 13 significant pass rush plays. About four or five of them came from untouched pressures, including the Kayvon Thibodeau sack this past Sunday. That was an untouched pressure. So I think it's going to depend on the situational opponent basis on if the Giants may be a little bit more blitz happy one game versus conservative the next. But I think in general, I agree with you. Just because we have this front four, that shouldn't necessarily tell Wink Martindale to be like, all right, I'm going to get a little bit more conservative because I trust these guys up front. Because a lot of these plays on Sunday that the pass rush played an impact, it was forced because these were just set flat out untouched pressures.
Yeah. And Sunday, those four guys combined for 19 pressures. Now,
via what?
Huh?
Via what? PFF or Pro Football Reference?
PFF.
That impresses me less.
Okay. I should look at Pro Football Reference.
I know. Stop looking at I mean, I get it. You have to do it. We have to come to a consensus. I really wish that they counted pressures for offensive linemen because we look at pressures and QB hits and stuff like that for offensive line for PFF because we have no other reason to. And then we look at like pressures, QB hits, sacks, for defenders on Pro Football Reference. Which
did
is
you see? I got a little roasted for my Andrew Thomas. Like, why did PFF credit him for this sack video?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. Were people saying that they were
well,
right?
Because technically, in theory, they were right. Like, it's the guy Andrew Thomas should have picked it up. But in practice, it's like, I don't know. This is like the way the Giants set this up is pretty effed up.
I mean, there were two guys rushing the passer.
Well, it's like, why would you use Bellinger to chip on the second guy instead of just having him block the outside guy? And if you're just going to, if Thomas is responsible for that outside guy who looks like he's in a blitzing position, why even have Bellinger chip at all and just make it, you know, give like an outlet for Jones?
It was weird.
So like, if you draw it up on a board, it's like, yeah, this is Thomas's guy. But like in practice, I'm like, this just. And even like the guy, like some of the like Whitworth and stuff, they weren't roasting me. They were talking about it. It's like, this is a pretty great blitz call versus this blocking protection. Yeah. But it's just like, I just don't like Thomas getting credited for a sack where it's like, well, he didn't get beat. It's just like they kind of called the perfect blitz.
Did Andrew Whitworth say that it should have been on Thomas? Did he give like an opinion on that?
Yeah, he said it was Thomas. If it was drawn up that Thomas should end up blocking that guy.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're right, and I agree with them 100%. It's just like, it's one of those, like, in theory versus in practice type things.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about Manscaped, Bobby. 'Tis the season for clean balls. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Our friends at Manscaped are helping you clear your driveway for safe travels this holiday season. Can't wait for NASCAR to come back clear. From stocking stuffers to white elephants. I was talking about albino elephants a couple weeks ago for some reason. Manscaped's products are the top of every wish list. With win this year's white elephant gift and help all the men in your life save or yourself. Love yourself. How about yourself? Get yourself a gift and save 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/giants. Manscaped, they offer a handful of their liquid formulations. Liquid, moist things. Shampoos, body washes, upstairs and downstairs deodorant, gels, exfoliants, tough word, and more. There is so... Oh, this is new. The Shears 2.0 is their full kit for nail care, scissors, clippers, tweezers, and a file for the traveling man. Manscaped literally has everything that you need to take care of yourself, look good, feel good, even smell good. Save 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/giants. That's right, 20% off plus free shipping by going to manscaped.com/giants. Manscaped for a perfect gift that will be the holiday's biggest hit.
All right, next question.
You'll be glad you did.
You'll be glad you did. Next question.
Andre Sports Fan and Andre Sports Fan, I give a lot of credit to Andre because I don't think he likes me. He unfollowed me because he does not like analytics, but he listens to every show and I appreciate
it. I met him at training camp. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I did not. I don't think I met him because I don't think he likes me. But I, like I said, I respect him and I love him. Understanding that the offense as a collective, understanding that the offense is a collective, if you had to pick the one unit holding back the offense the most, which unit would you choose? Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones, the offensive line, or the wide receivers?
I would say offensive line. I definitely think that is the thing that's holding it back the most. But here's the point you can make is that if they really, really love Daniel Jones and believed in Daniel Jones, that they would let him do more. Because, I mean, look at Josh Allen in 2019. You know, he threw deep passes at a 15% rate. He threw, intermediate 10 to 19 at a 20% rate. I mean, I'll pull up Daniel Jones' numbers while you talk, but it's I think it's a combination of things. And I don't like people, like, even if you disagree with it, because I disagree with it. Daniel Jones is definitely a part of the equation for at least the coaching staff. DJ is throwing the ball deep 10% less than Josh Allen did in 2019 when Josh Allen wasn't a great quarterback in 2019 yet, and then the intermediate they're throwing about the same rate.
But I will say like throwing the ball deep doesn't equate to offensive, like doesn't just solely correlate or causate like offensive success. So the Giants' offense,
I think it does offensive trust though.
All right, that's okay. The Giants' offense, according to Football Outsiders this year, and I'm just using Football Outsiders simply as like a power ranking metric right now, The Giants' offense this year is ranked 15th according to offensive DVOA. The Buffalo offense from 2019 is 21st. So I do think this year's, you know, the Giants also have Saquon Barkley this year. The Buffalo Bills did not have that running game in 2019. But I think the Giants' offense this year is better than the Buffalo offense in 2019. But again, we're talking about the quarterback here. You can say that they do it. You know, they did have more trust in Josh Allen in 2019 than they do Daniel Jones in 2021. Who's he throwing the ball to in 2019? Sammy Watkins?
No, Watkins was traitor. I mean, Robert Foster was getting yards up on that team.
Oh boy, yeah. So
the receivers were not very good on that team.
Yeah. I would go receivers simply because I don't see the routes that are being run on a consistent basis that is telling Darius Slayton, all right, win this play, win this route. Especially Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James, maybe Richie James on third downs. But when have you seen Isaiah Hodgins make a catch that isn't a crosser that's built on getting him in space and pulling a safety here with the clear out route? Like, you know what I mean? They're not asking these wide receivers. They're not asking, especially like Daniel Bellinger. They're not asking these guys to run crisp, clear routes and get the separation on their own to get open.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's, I mean, like you said, it's a combination of all three. Yeah. I just think interior offensive line is the biggest one. But also, like, yeah, they don't really have a downfield threat outside there. It's like, I don't know. The person, this, we have a question later for Mr. Brownstone. Like, the personnel is going, it might be the next question, but the personnel is going to be very different.
Oh, vastly different. This football team is going to be.
Well, I think it's the next question, so just ask it.
Yeah, yeah. And Andre, just to put a bow on, you know, Andre's question, I mean, it's the, I feel bad for not giving like a sports radio answer, but it's been this back and forth that I've had with myself the last 3 weeks where it kind of just is everything, man. It's a team sport. It's a nuanced sport. You know, it's tough, but it kind of is just a combination of a lot of these things. And if you think that you have the answer for one of them, I'm sorry. I think you're kind of wrong. Mr. Brownstone, how different do you expect the roster to look next year? Say we don't bring back guys like Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley. Who would you like to see fill their spots, whether it's through the draft, free agency, talking Giants versus the world, we ain't looking to tie?
Doug Analytics, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley. So actually, probably that's better than what we have right now.
Zay Jones, yeah. Cole Beasley,
got some money from the Jags. Cole Beasley, definitely. And John Brown, I think John Brown was kind of washed at that point. Robert Foster, though, he had some big catches that year. I think he's on the Giants practice squad still. I mean, I think this whole offense is going to look different, man. Like, so if QB running back is the question, it's like, do you bring those same guys back? Wide receiver is going to be vastly different. You know, like, I don't know how much faith you put in Wandale. You know, Slayton, I'd like to bring Slayton back, but not as like a, like, he's not going to be your top guy. I still think they're, you know, the tight ends, I don't think they're just like, all right, we got Bellinger, we're good there. I think they want to improve that position. And then on defense, like linebacker and cornerback should be vastly different next year.
Yeah. It's crazy how much work they have left. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I mean, this is for the year one of the rebuild. It's going to be very, very different next year, which is kind of exciting because there's going to be a lot of new.
Yeah. Yeah, get your full stamp. Get, you know, Joe Shane's kind of full stamp. We'll start to see the vision. We'll start to see the trend. You know, especially with the second draft class. Are you solely going to go for these guys that are 20, 21? And are you solely going to go for these guys that, you know, maybe the consensus doesn't have you very high, but you believe in your coaching to coach these guys up? Like, the way that I'm going to go about my draft prep this year is, like, the first thing I'm going to look at is your age. I'm looking at your age, and you know, if you're like 23, 24, I'll look at you, but I'm not thinking that you're going to the Giants 100%. So,
well, that was what we did in 2021 with free agency. It's like, all right, they get guys that there's some type of connection to and did the exact opposite.
I would like to think that Joe Shane maybe will stick to his philosophy because Dave Gettleman, you know, didn't have a spine because he just caved into fan, you know, they just caved into, they all did. They all caved into fan pressure because they had to win. So hopefully he just sticks to his guns, but maybe he won't.
Next question.
Eli Manning's best friend he never met. It's a great user. Hearing lots of theories about things being wrong in the locker room and Dable not sounding right in pressers, what is your opinion on the state of the locker room and coaching staff?
So I put this question in and I asked people, like, is there any smoke to, like, you know, Rodarius and Tay Crowder tweeting after the game and stuff? And I didn't really get any answers on it. So I don't love this question at this moment now because I don't have anything to give you. But that definitely is not good that Rodarius and Tay are tweeting that. Like, I think, but at the same time, it's like Rodarius Williams and Tay Crowder are not the two players who should be tweeting that. You know, Rodarius Williams has just recently came back from injury, played a solid game versus Dallas, and I do think he should have played. And Tay Crowder, I actually think should be the Giants starting Mike linebacker over Jalen Smith. I think it should be Tay Crowder and Mike McFadden. But I only think that because our linebackers suck so bad. It's not because Tay Crowder is being done this disservice as a football player who's being held back. Like you get freed to any other roster, and you are probably a little lower on the depth chart. Actually, no, he's probably the third linebacker on most teams.
I guess if Rodarius Williams and Tay Crowder are the worst of the Giants' locker room problems right now, I think I take that.
Yeah. So you know how it goes with press conferences is when the team wins, they're great. And when they lose, it's like, this guy's quite the way he answers this. And I think that's some, and I do not care. But we said in the preseason, and you know how it is, honeymoon, nothing can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Dable sucks at press conferences.
Oh, especially the last 2 weeks against
he answers them like he doesn't Cowboys. Know the answer to them. Like, it's like the opposite of Judge. And I think Joe Judge was great at press conferences. Does that make Joe Judge a great head coach? No, because press conferences really don't matter at the end of the day. Besides the 11-minute rant, like that was not what Joe Judge usually did. That stuff is what people will use against you. I won't use it against you, really, but it's a fact that Brian Dable is pretty bad at the media.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan was even, and I don't blame Jordan. I was listening to the post game presser, or no, it was Monday. I think it was Monday on Zoom. And Jordan was just trying to get like something out of him. He was asking like rebuttal questions and people were like, "Oh, media, 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 blah, blah, blah." But I mean, Dable just is not giving these guys anything. He's not answering questions. He's not even answering questions like he doesn't know the answer. He's just answering questions like, He just doesn't want to.
Yeah, which is like when you're head coach, you kind of have to answer the questions. You can't
don't need to be Mr. Congeniality and just, oh, I'm happy to be here. I'll give you everything I know. Well,
here's the thing for him. It helps you. Just give them a little something and it makes them happy. Like you make those clowns happy and they are a little less hard on you.
Because
which is not right, but it is reality.
If this does take a right turn, or a left turn, a wrong turn. If it takes a right turn, I'm an NASCAR fan. Let's turn left. If it takes a bad turn.
Hey, Dave, if there'd be left turn, right turns in NASCAR before Dave Gettleman trades down the draft.
Yeah. If this does take a wrong turn, man, it will be flipped on him quick because when things are bad, and they're not even, here's the thing, the things with Giants, they're not even like bad right now. They're not even bad. They're just not 7-2. They're just not, they just don't have one of the best records in the NFL. God forbid they're mediocre right now, but he's acting like in the way that he approaches these press conferences that it's bad, which I don't blame him. He's a competitor. He wants to win and he doesn't really want to be there if he loses. So.
Yeah, it's just the press conferences. Again, it's this whole like, well, they really don't matter at the end of the day, but it's like they kind of do.
Yeah.
It's like me personally, all I care about is how good of a football coach you are. But reporters don't know how to analyze football, so they go to the way you answer press conferences. And a lot of, not talking Giants listeners, there's some. But for the most, like, you know, more casual fans, like, that's the tough, that, you know, they're looking for headlines and don't give them to you. You know. Like, I saw people like Brian Dable's taking shots at Mike Kafka in this quote. It's like, no, he's not.
No.
You know, like I saw that video. It's like he's not taking shots at Mike Kafka.
No. No, that's what people wanted it to be, but no.
Yeah.
Excited to hear Joe Shane speak, and I'm excited to hear you talk about Ridge Wallet.
Ridge Wallet. This episode was brought to you by Ridge Wallet. Two things I like about Ridge Wallet. One, the freaking color. I think it's dope. And it's so slim. It fits right in your, like, you can put it in your back pocket like without me. Looking like, slim. A, like an a-hole. It holds up to 12 cards plus room for cash. Straight cash, homie. There's over 30 colors and styles, including carbon fiber and burnt titanium. I'm a burnt titanium guy. It's just who I am. You know, like Arson Judge. I like fire. The wall has over 50,000 five-star reviews. Last time I checked, that's a lot. The durable material means each wall comes with a lifetime warranty. The Ridge team is so confident that you'll like it that they'll let you test drive it for 45 days. You can send it back for a full refund if you don't love it. I tried to send something back for a refund the other day. They didn't get it. Screw you. Get the best with Ridge.com/JohnBoy. And right now, you can save up to 40% through December 22nd. That's Ridge.com/JohnBoy to save up to 40%. You'll be glad you did.
You'll be glad you did. Final question is coming from Crabtree. At Crabtree with a lot of numbers. Why didn't Bobby and Justin sit together at the game? We talked to each other enough.
That was the least amount of time we've ever interacted on a trip up there.
Yeah.
It's like, because the tailgate, our heads are spinning, so we don't, you know, basically we got talking in the van and, like, the podcast.
Yeah, I was recording the video, you know, you were at the van, you know, or, you know, just at the general tailgate talking with people. And, I mean, even, like, during our events, because we're kind of just doing different things, like, we don't really talk to each other
there was times during the game, because, you know, I was sitting with my brother and our respective ladies. There was times where the games was like, I want Justin's thoughts on this. Like, I would like to bounce him off then. So we got to figure out a way next time we're all up there to just get all of our seats together. And Danny King.
Yeah, Danny King sat with me. I think I freaked him out at some points. I am very different. We have some Talking Giants listeners that sit by us. Like, I got to find out this guy's name. Such a nice guy. He's been sitting in the row below me. He wears an Andrew Thomas jersey every week, which I love. He's been sitting a row below me, like just a couple seats to the right of me for years. For years he's been, and we've never like really spoken or chatted with each other. But then, you know, just earlier this season, first game of the year, he turns around and says, are you Justin? It's like, yeah. So there are some Talking Giants listeners that really get to see me at games. I'm much more negative at games. And I go a little bit more crazy at games than I am on the podcast. I try to keep it a little bit cool.
It's something about the environment that makes you just more of a negative person. Like, it's one of those things that's like, I understand the way people are in games. Because, like, just being at the game, it really makes you just more negative. When
at home, I'm quiet. At home, I'm very quiet. But when I'm at the game, and when I guess I have 80,000 people screaming at, I don't want to say the same thing, because I'll be screaming at, you know, I'll be screaming at somebody being maybe in a wrong
Here's
spot.
Something the fans were really stupid. When we had, it was 12 seconds left in regulation and the Giants need the ball, people were booing. And it's like, what are you booing for? Like, what do you want us to do? Like, shut up. We're going to overtime.
Yeah.
Why
are you booing? That's a gif.
But anyways.
Tailgate was fun, like we said.
Yeah, no. So, you know, flying home, I had like oh, this is kind of cool. Moment where I went with family and friends this time, and so in 2019, you know, I went with, like, I paid for my trip up there, went with my brothers, so we kind of did some of the same things, like went visit family, the New York City, you know, Jersey City viewing point. And it was like, it's kind of crazy 3 years ago how different this has changed.
Yeah.
So
was it, are you talking about the 2019 tailgate?
Well, just like 20, like we're 2019, it's like 10 of, it's like, you know, it was like me, you, David Palace, John Boy, Topher Pete, and my brother. And now,
yeah,
it's
and
like,
I mean, at that meeting, like I felt bad, but you know, you asked me to join Talking Giants at the end of 2019. We were going to roll it out and announce it at the beginning of 2020. So it was at that tailgate where basically that entire tailgate, I was just talking with Jim through the entire thing because of all the ideas and the goals and the things that we were going to roll out, the things that I was going to bring to the show as a producer and et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's crazy how this has changed. And, you know, now that couldn't happen. Like, let's just say if we brought John Boy to a tailgate and we were like going to talk about like business and vision for things, that would not happen just because of how many people would be there.
Where you get noticed by like four people in 2019, and now it's like I got noticed by four people not at the Giants game.
Yeah. I mean, the community they were
making.
They
were making my lady and then my brother and his lady were making fun of me because like we got like someone noticed us at Olive Garden.
Yeah.
Where else?
They were from Texas. Those two guys came to our tailgate and they were from Texas and they said, I saw Bobby at an Olive Garden. why were you at Olive Garden? Come on.
Well, we spent all day in the city and it was just like, let's just go to the closest place around us.
Oh, man, you went to an Olive Garden?
Well, here's the thing. All the good Italian restaurants were closed.
Could have went to Candlewick. Crying out loud.
It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
No, the Jersey Diner's open late. You kidding?
True. It wasn't my idea. I'll say that.
Bad idea.
But Olive Garden's good, too. Don't hate on Olive Garden.
Yeah, I agree.
People hate on it, but it's actually pretty good.
I agree.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a national brand. It's like, nah, don't lie. Like, you like it, and it's some Olive Garden. And then where else? Anyways, it's kind of cool. It's like to see the 3 years. I had a moment where it's like, this is pretty cool to see how this is all grown. So
yeah, both tailgates for me this year, and it was the draft. Like after it was all said and done with the draft, we were like the ninth.
Oh, I always get emotional after the draft.
Yeah, but I mean, especially like just the reaction to it. I mean, we had that will like never happen again. Like having two top 10 picks. Maybe the next time it'll happen is when we draft a quarterback, like in the first round. That's the next time that maybe the hype around a draft will happen like that. But yeah, I mean, just the community that we've built is so cool. And it just isn't like, I really don't reflect on like what Bobby and I have done. It's what we have done kind of together. And, you know, if it's just a tailgate of Bobby and I, you know, that's not cool. It's the fact that we had over 100 people show up and, you know, that was very, very cool and very, very awesome. I'm very proud of what we as a collective community have done. So.
Talking Giants versus the world, and that means if you're listening to this right now, you're part of that. All right, we'll be back on Friday for a preview pod of the Eagles. Fun. So we'll see you then. We appreciate you guys, like we just said. Until then, let's go Big Blue.